Now, every day on Radio 1, we talk movies, and this is our movie section. And this week, it's a great pleasure to say that the original Star Wars trilogy is released on DVD in its original form for the first time ever. And to celebrate, we've got Warwick Davis with us, who played the Ewok, Wicket. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Vernon. Thank you.
Star Wars is one of those films, iconic films, that holds a deep, deep, meaningful place in my heart, because I had every Star Wars figure. I had you.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good to know.
And to meet someone who's actually been in one of those films and experienced it all, it's kind of a weird sensation, because in a way, we kind of idolise you as Star Wars fans, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose I'm very lucky like that, and I see that a lot. I mean, I travel all over the world, and, you know, I'm recognised from Star Wars all over the place, and, you know, as an actor in the film, you do feel you hold a very special place with a lot of people who, you know, greatly appreciate the work that you did in the movies.
And on the flip side of that, I would imagine that you have to behave yourself 110% of the time, because if people meet you and they meet a moody Ewok, they like him, he was a Harry Potter.
That's right. You have to be careful. And if you're having a bad day and then somebody comes up and, you know, recognises you, you've got to straight away, you know, pull yourself back into line and be gracious and pleasant. So it's, yeah, you've got to be on your toes.
Now, is it true that the reason or the way that you got the part came about was because your grandmother heard a radio advert for people 4 foot taller or shorter?
That's right.
To be in Star Wars: Return of the Jedi.
Yep. Yeah, that was all there was to it. She heard the commercial. She told my mum about it. Mum followed it up by phoning the studios. Initially, they said they had everyone. They were inundated with responses. But she told them about me and that I was a big fan of the movies and just would love this chance to do this. So they said, all right, bring him in. We'll meet him. I went to the studios. I didn't have to audition or do any kind of performance. It was as simple as being the right height for the job. And I was sent down to the wardrobe department, measured up for a costume, and the rest is history, basically. I was on the set
two weeks later. That's amazing.
Mm.
So when we see all those kind of head movements and your interaction with Princess Leia, what was that like?
Well, it was all just coming from me as an 11-year-old being curious about stuff naturally anyway, and it was something I kind of brought to the character. The head side-to-side tilting movements were based on my pet dog of the time. when he heard a strange sound, he'd tilt his head from side to side, and I thought it looked quite cute, and so I brought that to the character as well, and it gave him a certain endearing quality. And if you watch the film very carefully, you'll notice that Ewoks have basically inanimate faces. They don't move the faces. But I was able to get my own tongue through between the teeth of the mask. So when you watch the film, that little tongue you see is Warwick's 11-year-old tongue.
Wow. You know what? I'm going to go back now and pause it. And then play it in slow-mo. Look, I made that tongue!
I got a bit of the real me in the movie as well.
And it's not very often people can say that.
No, exactly.
You know, look what happened to Darth Vader. He thought his real voice would be in it, and then lo and behold, it was a guy from CNN. But it must have been quite surreal being 11 years old and Harrison Ford, of course, and then Princess Leia and Mark Hamill and then Chewbacca. Were you starstruck?
Oh, very much so, yeah. Not because they were the actors they were, because they were the characters they were. You know, I was standing in front of Han Solo. You know, I just couldn't believe my luck. And getting to fight with real stormtroopers, and it just was an amazing experience. And they were also nice to me as well. I was the youngest member of the cast. So, you know, Mark Hamill, he bought me all the toys that I wanted. So I have a really great collection of Star Wars toys now, thanks to him.
Let's stop there. Let's digress. Have you opened them?
Yeah, I did. I played with them. I know. I've ruined their value now.
I'm going to let you into my geeky side.
Okay.
It's not very often I do that. A lot of people know that I fly radio-controlled aeroplanes and I collect sporting memorabilia, rock and roll memorabilia.
Yeah.
Recently come back from a trip in America. Guess how much for an unopened Luke Skywalker Empire Strikes Back figurine in dollars?
I'm guessing $200 or $300, maybe.
$450.
Really?
And you know what? I bloody paid it! More than fool me!
Vernon, was it unpunched? Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Not the thing that
was
goes
that
on the
still
shelf?
In there?
No.
Oh, see, that would have been worth more. Because when I see one of those figures, I'm often asked to sign these things. If I see that bid in, I threaten to push it out and just watch them sweat.
Oh.
These collectors, they are.
That means it didn't even make the
shelf.
They
didn't make the shelf. Then it just increases the value. But I wouldn't worry. I think you've got a good deal there.
Yeah, and I got a Han Solo and a Princess Leia.
That's cool.
You must meet some very strange characters with some very strange pieces of memorabilia.
I do, yeah. I've been asked to sign all manner of things. The strangest thing... He's just done a mime of breasts. I've never signed breasts. But I have signed... This is slightly worrying. This does concern me. A gentleman once revealed his belly to me, and on it was a tattoo of Willow and Wicket. and I had to sign it.
I don't. I'm not being funny. I don't know how to react to that. No, I'm sure you didn't.
I didn't as well. I think my chin was on the floor.
Did you manage to get any memorabilia from the actual film? Did you get to keep the costume, for example?
Well, no, I didn't keep the costume. You wouldn't want to after spending 12 weeks in a foamy fur suit. You know, the thing walked on its own. But I did. I do have one or a couple of bits of memorabilia. Now, I don't know how I got them. Right. I don't think the word theft should come into this.
No.
Okay, I have...
I would never put that upon
you. No, I could probably see you'd be thinking that in a moment when I tell you what I have. But do you remember in the film, Wicket swings some bowlers?
Yes.
Which are rocks on a bit of leather around his head, and he can't do it, wraps them around his neck and falls over. I've got them.
Now I'm thinking
I've got them. You are now, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I also have some Ewok toes. No foot or Ewok attached, just the toes on their own.
Now, I heard another piece of interesting kind of showbiz Hollywood gossip. Is it true that George Lucas, or do you know of the fact that George Lucas took all the props, put them in some containers and buried them in the desert?
I've never heard that before.
But it's a good one.
I know they have an archive, a very, very carefully temperature-controlled place that they keep things like Indiana Jones's hat, the whips there, lightsabers, very original kind of items like that. But as far as George Lucas's hole in the desert, I don't know anything about that.
No.
I shall ask him.
We've been chatting now for approximately 5 minutes.
Yes.
And I think we get on well, and I think it's safe to say that, you know, if we swap phone numbers, we'll become friends. And I'm sure you've got some great contacts in Hollywood.
Oh,
is
yes.
there any chance that myself and producer Richard, you could get us in that room?
In which room? In the archive room?
In the archive.
It is hard to get in there, you know, even if you're an employee.
Imagine.
Yeah, we might be able to swing something.
Can
if you're
imagine
in
that,
if you're
though?
In America, can you imagine going around there? I did it when I was a kid, and yeah, it was amazing.
That's like Santa's grotto. It really is.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll leave that there for now,
yep.
And then we'll come back and we'll get some listeners' questions to yourself. Little Chris on Radio 1. It's 10 to 3. Let's get more from Warwick. Right, so we're still joined by Warwick Davis, who everyone knows as Wicket,
yes,
the Ewok, and Willow in Willow.
Yep.
So without further ado, are you ready for listeners' questions?
I'm ready. Bring them on.
Okay. Seeing as in The Return of the Jedi and in the Harry Potter films, because you're in Harry Potter films as well, you are in heavy costume. Do people mainly recognise you from Willow? That's a good question, which I still think is genius, by the way.
I'm recognised for a range of stuff. They recognise you from Willow initially when they hear my voice. That's the first thing. They sort of say, oh, we heard you, you know, and then we looked over and it was you. But, so Willow primarily. If you're a Star Wars fan, you'd always know me from Wicket. But there are some people that recognise me from the Leprechaun movies.
Yes.
People with no taste in films whatsoever.
I mean, but your filmography goes on for literally miles.
Does it?
Look at it.
It's a danger to the rainforest, that thing, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, there's a whole host of great films that you've been fortunate enough to
well, I have been lucky. You said fortunate, and I consider it that is the way it is. I'm just kind of lucky that I get in films and they happen to do quite well, or a lot of people see them. There's very few on there that have done poorly.
Now, some of the characters that you have portrayed have been a little less than human, to say the least. I was wondering which character has caused you to spend the most time in makeup, / getting ready, and how long did it take to get into and out of the character's makeup and costume?
Good question.
That's from Jen.
That's great. I suppose the Leprechaun, which I play an evil Leprechaun, I have a 3-hour makeup for that character. And in Harry Potter, I have a 3 to 4 hour makeup for that character. So it's a very long process. Early morning, starting about 4 o'clock in the morning, ready for 8. Once that's all on, it's very easy performance-wise to kind of pull it all together, so there's nothing to do there. Taking those makeups off, it's not as you would see if you ever see Mrs. Doubtfire. You don't just peel it off. It takes about an hour and a half to take it off so that your skin's ready for the next day.
When you're on a film set, is there kind of an air of excitement around the place with the makeup artist, with the T-boy, the head grip, that kind of thing?
Oh, it's very exciting on a film set, but not as exciting as the film is. You know, there's no glamour either. The glamour comes when you go to the premiere.
Right.
The filming is just, it's a day of work. It's very enjoyable, but it's not glamorous in the slightest.
See, we see the kind of final edited piece, masterpiece. So let's take Willow, for example.
Yeah.
Right. You're freezing cold.
Yeah. So, for example, let's take the scene, I'm rowing a boat on a lake. So we're on a lake that's just by Queenstown in New Zealand. It's almost zero. They're asking me to row the boat towards the camera that's on another boat. So I'm in this boat that the oars are made of rickety sort of wood to make it look authentic. And I'm trying to row the boat. You can't row this in a straight line. There's a current, there's wind blowing. I almost got hypothermia that day. I had to have medical attention. So that's the kind of thing that happens.
And let's say, you know, we're having a conversation and then we'll go into character, do a scene, cut, and then you kind of,
you're back to normal. Yeah, I'm not that kind of actor. Like, I can go in and out of character. Like, so for example, now I could become the Leprechaun.
I want to be cold, and I'm going to get it from you, lad.
And then I'm back to Warwick again, you see. So it's when you're used to doing something. But there are some actors who, Val Kilmer's one of them, who will kind of remain in character sometimes.
Well, let's have another question.
Okay.
All right. Describe Daniel, Rupert, and Emma from Harry Potter in one word. What are they really like? That's from Faye Northampton.
In one word.
Well, we'll give you three.
Let's say professional, hardworking. Is that two words? Hyphenated. And, professional, hardworking, and great, really. I mean, I sound like I'm just saying that, but they are more professional than many of the adult actors I've ever worked with. They know the lines.
Do you think older actors get complacent?
I think so. I think so. I think the best thing to be in this business is unsure of yourself. As soon as you become sure, when enough people tell you you're brilliant, you sit back and relax. And
when
then
you
you're
start
not so
wearing
good.
A flashy Cuban heel with an extra half an inch.
I could do with that, though.
No, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. So I'd rather be kind of on my toes. But those three, they're just so committed to this, and it's really hard work for them.
Also, have you been approached for the live TV series of Star Wars in up-and-coming years?
Yeah, that's very exciting news, isn't it? They're going to do 100 episodes of the time between the end of Episode 3 and the beginning of Episode 4 Star Wars.
Right.
So it fills a 20-year period here. You know, we've just seen Darth Vader created. the twins, Luke and Leia, have been taken off separately. So we see this time here. And I don't know, I dropped enough hints. I was working with Rick McCallum, the producer, recently. Dropped lots of hints to him. I will no doubt start bombarding George with faxes.
I think there
emails.
Should be a couple of scenes on the forest moon of Endor.
Well, I don't think I'll come back as an Ewok. It'd be nice to just come back as a villain.
Oh,
I'd like
no,
to play sort of some sort of relative of Emperor Palpatine, maybe.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Some sort of little wrinkly relative.
Do you like playing bad guys?
Oh, yes. I react to that.
There's a dark side to you in there.
Yeah. A dark glint in my eye.
Yes. Well, Warwick, all I can say is it's been an absolute pleasure.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Werner. Thank you.
And I just want to ask a couple more questions.
Okay.
Have you got posters of the films that you've been in your house?
I have, yeah. It's pretty sad, isn't it? Really?
No,
I've got a little gallery
wrong.
Area. But the reason they're up is not because they feature my face and name. It's because George Lucas and other directors have signed them with
right.
words of thanks.
And next time you see Val, can you ask him if he's still got those leather pants from Jim Morrison and the Doors?
Oh, I will. I'm sure he has.
I've always tried to get away with leather pants and never could find any that fit, but I would assume that Val Kilmer was quite tall.
Yeah, he is. It's about your height, actually. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Warwick, thank you very much again. I really,
thank
really
you
appreciate
indeed.
You coming in. It's been absolutely brilliant.
Super.
Thank you.
Thanks.